And as you might be able to guess, we'll be in Psalm 23 this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead our time. Father, we just appreciate your word, and we thank you, Lord, for this famous, famous psalm and description of who you are and what you're like and your care for us and the things that we can have if we will turn to you and embrace you as our shepherd. Lord, we are so thankful. And Father, I pray that as we try to meditate on these words, that you'll just guide us, Lord, each of us individually and as a church family. Pray, Father, that you'll guide us. And we pray it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I read a story this week about a young man who was standing up in front of his class to talk to them. Actually, each of the students were taking their turn standing up in first grade, and they were answering the question, what do I want to be when I grow up? And so this one little boy stood up, and he said, well, when I grow up, I'm going to enter into a cage with lions and tigers, and they will growl and roar. Then he paused for a minute, and he said, of course, I'm going to have my dad along with me. And what had happened was the little boy had gone to a circus and he had seen a lion tamer go in this cage, and the lions are ferocious and they're roaring and they're swatting at each other and they're kind of swatting out at him, and he's in control. And so the little boy is saying, you know, when he grows up, he wants to be fearless and he wants to be brave and he wants to be in control. But as he starts thinking about it, he's like, well, you know, a fella could get hurt that way. So I'll do that as long as someone bigger and stronger, like Dad, is there along with me. So keep that thought in the back of your mind for just a moment as we go back to thinking about Psalm 23. Outside of church, not even necessarily outside of church, but when would you think of that you hear Psalm 23 used most frequently? Okay, exactly. You always hear Psalm 23 read at a funeral, talked about at a funeral. And I understand that. You know, it's a great and a very encouraging psalm at funerals. But I want to complain about it just a little bit this morning. Because Psalm 23 is not a song about death at all. I mean, think about it for a moment. David's sitting out there on the hillside, possibly, and he's looking over his sheep. You know, the whole flock is there in front of him because he's got them all nice and together. Are any of them dead? Don't think so. Are they even sick? Not that we know of. David is sitting there meditating on how good these sheep have got it. Right? He's thinking about how they've got green pastures where they can graze in. He's thinking about, you know, that morning when they were down by the stream and it was this quiet, calm stream, and they were just out there, you know, no danger of being carried away by any rapids or anything like that. They're just out there enjoying some nice, cool, fresh water. He's thinking about how they are protected, just how they've got it really good. And then as he's thinking about that, his thoughts turn and he starts saying, oh, wait a minute, I've got it good too. I've got a good shepherd, and I've got all those exact same things that my sheep have. I've got plenty to eat. I've got a place to lie down and rest. I've got clothes to wear. Even out here caring for these sheep, I'm not afraid because my Heavenly Father is with me and He's my protector and He's my provider. So Psalm 23 is not a song about death. It is a song about life, and it's a song about life as only God can give it to us. So really, really encouraging to me. The next thing I'd like you to notice, though, is not only is it a song about life, but it is a song about a life filled with confidence. A life filled with confidence. Think about the little first grader. He wanted, when he grew up, he wanted to be brave and fearless and in control. And that's the kind of life that David realized he could have because God was with him. He could be brave and fearless and in control. Just think about one of the pictures in the psalm with me. David writes in the psalm about how he says, God prepares, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So just picture David going into this enormous room. He had a lot of enemies. Just for a moment, visualize all of his enemies being there. Okay, the Philistines are there, whom he's constantly having to have battles with. Potentially Goliath is there, this enormous giant. King Saul is there. I mean, David had a lot of enemies. Everyone's there in the room. David walks in, and none of them can touch him. He's actually sitting down, and God's providing a meal for him, and he's enjoying it right there in the presence of his enemies. They can't raise a hand. They can't say a word. They can't get to David because God is his protector. And David just realizes, as long as I live life under God's shelter, under God's protection, I am good. You know, if I pray and ask for help, he is the one who takes care of me. It's really an exciting thought. Turn with me to Psalm 18 for just a minute. David wrote this psalm actually during some of his encounters with King Saul, when King Saul was trying to kill him. And I just thought it would be interesting for us to read a couple of things here that David wrote. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we'll read a lot of the beginning here. Here's what David says. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came into his ears. Now notice the next couple of verses. I love this description. Then the earth shook and quaked. Foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. I won't read the rest of it, but it's just an incredible picture to me about what David believed was going on when he prayed. And here he was, afraid for his life, and he said, I call out to God, and God is angry. God is serious. God comes down to David's defense. And this is what the psalm is all about, is how God took care of David when he went through those things. And of course, he's writing these words, Psalm 23, and these words, to encourage us that as the good shepherd sheep, we have those exact same things. Just think about David's life for a minute with me. This is review, but you know the stories, but it's so applicable here. You know, David lived like this. Once again, this is not a single event in David's life. When he's out with his sheep, and the lion came, and he went after that lion and whacked it over the head and fought with it and killed it. He did so, he said, because he believed that God was with him. Right? Remember when he went and stood before Saul, when Goliath was there. And he said to Saul, don't let any man's heart be afraid because of this man. I'll go fight with him. Your servant will go fight with him. And Saul's like, well, you can't do that. Look at you. I mean, you're this little young guy. And David starts talking about being a shepherd. He says, well, listen, when I was out there with the sheep and the lion and the bear came along, I took care of them. And they're ferocious beasts. And then David says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from this Philistine. And so Saul's like, okay, go for it. Then David's standing out there in front of the Philistine. This is probably For me, this is even more encouraging. You know, the Philistine, Goliath, sees him and starts cussing at him and belittling him. And what are they sending me, dogs now? And David says to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Today, he will deliver you into my hands, and I'll remove your head from you and offer your body as feed for the birds," basically, is what David tells him. So see, David was not out there trusting in himself. He's believing that God is going to do this thing. God's going to do this thing. And so for David, this psalm, Psalm 23, is a song also about a life filled with confidence. Now, I've got a ton of stories that, you know, I've never stood before Goliath, but I've had my own Goliaths, as I'm sure you have. And maybe at the end, maybe we'll have time for a couple of stories. I just want to share a couple of quick ones from my life. Some of them you have heard before. But I remember when Kathy and I were very early married, I made $3.50 an hour. And we had the conviction that she would not work. You know, that wasn't just God's, that was God's plan. She was going to take care of the kids and be at home and take care of our home and things like that. God provided for us. You know, incredibly. He just kept giving us money. Sometimes before we had a need, we were like, "Man, we got all this money." And then something would come up and we'd have to spend it. Or sometimes it was after the need, but he was constantly preparing or caring for us. Another time, we were with a church family, and they were looking for people to go and be church planters at this little college campus up near Baltimore. And we were convinced that God was sending us up there. And so at that time, we did something that everyone in our lives had always told us you never do. And that was, we didn't have a job up there. And we were just so convinced. We prayed about it. We were convinced that God wanted us up there. And so I quit my job, and we moved up to Baltimore to work at this little campus. It was called the University of Maryland Baltimore campus. Now, it didn't work out, and I don't think I was a very good church planter. And I had all these issues, and there were a lot of reasons that church never became a formal church of its own. But God took care of us. You know, he gave us another job. It was within a month of after we moved up there. I think about a year later, he gave me an even better job. He's always taking care of us. Another example would be planting a church. And I told you this story a few times, I know, but I was very frightened about it. When I was young, I didn't probably know a lot better sometimes. But when we were convinced the Lord was asking us to start this church, I was like, "Well, Lord, how can I provide for my family? I don't feel qualified, and I don't think, you know, where's the money going to come from?" But we did it, and the Lord has taken care of us for how long we've been going, 12 years now, something like that. God continues to provide for us and take care of us. And I'm sure you have very similar stories. Maybe you'll want to share a few at the end. But just, we can live a life of confidence because God is our God. The next thing I'd like you to notice about this psalm or song is that it is about a life filled with value and meaningfulness. It's about a life filled with value and meaningfulness. I don't know, maybe you have had this experience. I've sat down with a few people in the past just trying to get to know them, and they've kind of described themselves as a loser. You know, maybe they'll put up the L sign, and you know, they're going through a rough year or a rough 10 years or a rough life or whatever, and they'll describe themselves as a loser. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but sometimes it happens, and I think it happens a lot more frequently than it should. And thinking about the psalm, it was interesting because our drama team was talking about sheep this morning. You know, and so when a lot of people meditate on this psalm, they talk about the sheep. and how sheep are. I put a list down here. How sheep are ignorant, stubborn, easily frightened, helpless, timid, feeble, etc. And this is their description. But it's not in the psalm. Oh, if you would, just close your eyes for a minute. And I want to read it to you again. And I want you to just think about, let this wash over you as we read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You can open your eyes. So, you hear anything in that psalm about us being ignorant or weak or feeble or fearful? Right? There's none of that in there. None of that in there. God, I think, is telling us in this psalm how much he values us. And David saw that. God values us and he is going to care for us. Our lives are full of meaning and value because of our great God. He made us in his image. He cares for us. He says we are worth it. We are worth it. You are worth it to him. You know, sometimes we all have different personalities and different gifts and different strengths, different abilities. Sometimes we don't value each other maybe as much as we could, as much as we should. Hopefully we do. We do our best to value one another. But to God, you are infinitely valuable. He considers you and I worth it all. And that's why he said he's our good shepherd. He is for us, and it is a life filled with meaning and value. Think about Ephesians 2:10 with me for a moment. You can turn there if you want, or I'll just quote it for you. But Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The word could also be translated his craftsmanship. We are his handiwork. God is working in our lives. Not only did he make us, but he's continuing to work in our lives. I love that old children's song, and I'm shameless about singing children's songs. I do not care, and I will do it. And the song says, he's still working on me. He's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving, how patient he must be. He's still working on me. Because he values you and me. And he's extremely patient. There's another verse in Philippians where Paul writes and he says that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. You're just that valuable to him. I read about this Sunday school teacher, and you've probably heard this one, but I just couldn't resist sharing it. Sunday school teacher is like, she's got these really little kids. And so she's asking them if any of them can quote Psalm 23. And this one little 4-year-old girl is just jumping up and down. She's got her hand up in the air. And the teacher wants the whole psalm quoted because, you know, she wants the whole psalm quoted. And so she's afraid that she says, are you sure you know the whole psalm? And she's, yeah. And she's just jumping up and down. And finally she says, all right. So the little girl stands up and she says, with her hand still up in the air, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And she sits back down. And the teacher can't argue with that. Right? I mean, really, it's the whole thing. In a nutshell, he's our shepherd. It's all we want. It's all we need. It's everything. And he says that you and I have value. We have value. The one last thing I'd like you to notice about Psalm 23 is that it is a life, it's a song about a life of belonging. Belonging. And really the whole psalm, I think, shows us that. The whole psalm portrays that. But you don't even have to get past the very first phrase. Notice how it starts. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. See, and that's very common to the Bible. That idea is throughout the Bible, is that God belongs to us and we belong to him. There's this mutual thing, mutual connection going on. That's exactly how God created us. That's how he designed it. That's how he planned it. That's how he wants it. I think about another one of my favorite verses in John. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. We belong to him. We're going to come back to that verse in just a minute. But on this idea of belonging, maybe you've heard of this guy's. His name is Ben Hooper, and he was elected the governor of Tennessee 2 times. And I just want to read you a story from his life. This was one of Ben Hooper's favorite stories to tell. And so I just want to read you a brief version of it. He says, My mother wasn't married when I was born. When I started school, my classmates had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off by myself, both at recess and during lunchtime, because of the taunts of my playmates, which cut me deeply. What was worse was going downtown on Saturday afternoon and feeling every eye burning a hole right through you. They were all wondering who my real father was. When I was about 12, a new preacher came to our church. I would always go in late and slip out early. But one day, the preacher said the benediction so fast, I got caught and I had to walk out with the crowd. I could feel every eye in church on me. Just about the time I got to the door, I looked up, and the preacher was looking right at me. Who are you, son? Whose boy are you? I felt the old weight come upon me. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down, I thought. But as the preacher looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile a big smile of recognition. Wait a minute, he said. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You're a son of God. With that, he slapped me across the back. He said, boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it. That, Ben Hooper said, was the most important single sentence anyone ever said to me. And so he went out and he got a grip on this idea of who he was. It didn't matter about his earthly father. He had a heavenly father. And he belonged to him. Ben Hooper, from what I understand, one of his favorite things to do, especially after he retired, was to hang around in this one particular restaurant and just meet different people. I first read this story from another fellow who had been at the restaurant with his wife. He was there on a date with his wife. And Ben Hooper comes over, and he was like, man, don't look at him. This is supposed to be just you and me. Well, anyhow, he ends up saying, hey, can I sit down for a minute? And he sits down with this couple, and he tells them this life story and how life-changing it was for him to realize that God was his father and that he had value because of that, and he belonged to his heavenly father. So, it's a psalm about belonging. About belonging. Well, just one last thing I'd like you to think about this morning related to this psalm. And that is that we are a little tiny bit different than sheep in one way. And that is, sheep don't get to choose who their shepherd is. Right? Now, in one sense, we don't choose. Right? I already quoted the verse for you, which is one of my favorite, where he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." And that's extremely encouraging to me. You know, that God cared enough for me and for you that he is choosing us. But we get to choose him. We get to choose him. And that's what David is also doing in Psalm 23. He's saying, "The Lord's my shepherd. I choose to place myself under him." You know, and you know from some of our past weeks about David's worship, about David's obedience, etc., that he was choosing God as his heavenly Father, and that's where he was planning on being. That's where he was planning on being. You and I get to make the same choice. Hey, we live in a world that is choosing not to have him as their shepherd very, very frequently, but you and I, we get to choose when we get up tomorrow morning, okay, who's my shepherd? Where's my trust going to be? Where's my dependence going to be? Father in heaven, I thank you for David and his life and these times, these weeks that we've had to go and look at his life together. Lord, I thank you for this psalm. It's timeless. And it is so encouraging that you're the good shepherd, that you're with us, that you lead us by the cool pasture, the cool waters and the green pastures, etc. Lord, how we thank you. And Father, this day I just want it to be said, you're my shepherd. And that's how I always want it to be, Lord, no matter what the cost. And Father, I think that's where we're at as a church. I think that's where we're at. We want you as our shepherd. And we just recommit ourselves to you this morning. And we do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.